Welcome to the HIV Australia podcast, a discussion about the community-led response to HIV. In this latest episode, Jack Crinjanin talks with Nikki Sullivan from the South Australia Mobilisation and Empowerment for Sexual Health, also known as SAMISH, and talks about the Connect project in Adelaide.
For Health Equity Matters, you're listening to HIV Australia. I'm Jack Crinjanin, the Content and Communications Coordinator at SAMISH and Thorn Harbour Health. You might have also heard me on Well, which is a health and wellbeing show on Joy 94.9. And I'm joined at the moment by Nikki Sullivan, who up until recently, I understand, was the Project Coordinator for Connect at SAMISH. Nikki, what are you doing now?
Now I am a health educator. But I am actually still overseeing the Connect project. We're just about to get a new staff member who will be doing most of the legwork connected to Connect.
Very exciting. I guess for anyone listening that isn't familiar with your work, tell us a little bit about what you were doing before you joined SAMISH.
I've had a bit of a varied career. I was an academic for about 25 years, teaching in cultural studies, mainly at Macquarie University in Sydney, but also a little bit at UniSA in South Australia. Then I worked in the museum sector for about 8 years, and then I moved into health. And while they all sound very different, I guess the thing that's connected them is that I think my work has always been activist oriented and about sort of asking questions about systems and the ways in which they reproduce sort of normative notions of or normative relations of power and privilege, particularly when it comes to gender and sexuality.
And if you're curious, a lot of Nikki's work in sort of gender and sexuality studies, I was quite surprised to read it and find out how early that was published as well, which to me seemed quite progressive, very progressive for the time. So definitely worth looking up some of Nikki Sullivan's work if you're curious. But we're not going so much into detail on that at the moment, I guess. We're here to talk about Connect. Can you tell us what Connect is and explain the process of using the vending machines?
So Connect is a project that uses vending machines to dispense free HIV self-test kits to basically anybody who wants to test. It was introduced, we started the project probably about 2 years ago, and we installed the first of the machines about 18 months ago now. It's funded by the Commonwealth Government, and it's a pilot project basically to see if dispensing self-test kits via this kind of method will help to overcome barriers to testing. So the process is that if a person sees a Connect poster or postcard or vending machine, they'll see that they've all got QR codes on them. So you scan the QR code, it'll take you to the web app, which will tell you all about what Connect is and what it does. But it'll say to you, if you want to proceed and you want to register to use this initiative, you have to answer 4 questions. So age, country of birth, testing history, and sexuality. Once you've done that, you have to put in your mobile phone number. You'll then receive a 4-digit code. And once you put that into the web app, you're registered and you can use any of the vending machines at any time.
Where did the idea for Connect come from, and what are some of the main objectives of the project?
So I think the idea came out of research really that shows that whilst HIV rates in Australia are declining, that decline is not sort of equal across the board. So there are some populations where the decline is much, much slower, and there are lots of barriers that those priority populations face that are greater than the barriers that the rest of the population face. And so we know that if we want to reach the UNAIDS targets that have been set for 2030, that we've really got to start reaching what we call priority populations that we haven't been so good at reaching in the past. So our aim is to get rid of the barriers as best as we can, to make testing as easy as we can for everybody, and to support people who are non-testers or infrequent testers to test more frequently, so that this just becomes part of people's, you know, everyday sexual health sort of regime.
What are some of those barriers, and what communities, if you can be more specific than priority populations or different groups within priority populations, what are the barriers and who is affected by them?
So I guess, first of all, I'll talk a little bit about the priority populations. Research shows that in Australia, people, well, particularly men who have sex with men, from Southeast Asia, Sub-Saharan Africa, Latin America and the Caribbean, transmission rates are greater there, or they're declining at a slower rate. We know that people from those priority populations are often diagnosed later, and there's a whole lot of sort of ramifications that go with that that I can say something about in a minute. And we also know that heterosexual women from all populations are diagnosed later, generally speaking. The reason why it's important to be diagnosed early on is it's important to get onto treatment. And once your viral load is below a certain number, then your viral load becomes undetectable. You then can't transmit the virus to anybody else. So you may have heard of that, you know, undetectable equals untransmissible. So what we want to do is get people, you know, testing regularly. If someone is positive, we want to be able to identify that as soon as possible, get them onto treatment so that they can live, you know, a perfectly healthy life, just like anybody who is not HIV positive.
And I guess to the barriers that prevent some of those more regular or more robust testing, what are some of the barriers for those populations?
Yeah, well, barriers are varied, really. One, for people who are here on temporary visas, if they're not Medicare eligible, then they may not be able to go to clinics where there's a fee. Or if they've got private health insurance from overseas, if, for example, they're international students, that coverage may be tied to their parents' health insurance. They may not want their parents to know that they are having an HIV test or any kind of, you know, sexual health test. There's all sorts of stigma and discrimination, as we know, around HIV. And so for anybody, it's difficult to go and get a test. But if you come from a culture where, you know, that stigma is greater, or where there's all sorts of religious sorts of barriers to even recognizing that one might want to have sex with someone of the same gender, for example. All of those things come into it. People may have had negative experiences in the past. If they are recent arrivals, they may not know where to go. They may not know what to ask for. They may have low sexual health literacy. But I think, you know, what we're finding from the feedback that we're getting from people is that by and large, people don't want to go and talk to clinicians necessarily. They would much rather just take responsibility for their own testing in their own time, in their own space, with whoever it is that they want to be with.
The machines themselves are located in university and I believe now TAFE campuses, or shortly TAFE campuses, around Adelaide. I understand there's one at a sex on premises venue as well. I suppose, what was the justification behind placing them on university campuses in order to try and reach those people?
Well, I think one of our priority populations is international students. We want to reach international students because we know that, you know, for many of them, for the first time, they find themselves in a new country where sexual freedom may be, you know, much greater than it has been where they've come from, or they're not with their parents for the first time. They may not know where clinics are. They may not feel that they can talk to people about these things, but they might be having sex. And so we want to make sure that we furnish them as best we can with what they need in order to be able to have sex safely. And so what we did was we looked at some pilots that have been carried out in the US, the UK, New Zealand and Queensland. And by and large, they had only had machines in sex on premises venues. So, you know, that is venues where men go to have sex with men mostly, or for the most part. Maybe they don't all have sex, but, you know, by and large, that's what those places are for, right? So, but we know that oftentimes people who use those kinds of venues have a relatively good knowledge of sexual health. So we wanted, and we know that also they're very specific places that maybe a large number of international students would not go to you know. So we wanted to put them on university campuses because it would mean that students, any students, could access the machines 24/7. It also means that people who are not students can access those machines during ordinary working hours. And I think what we found, if you look at the stats, which I'm sure we'll go on to talk about in a minute, is that the usage in this particular pilot far, far outstrips any of the other pilots that have been carried out anywhere else internationally. And I think that is, at least in part, because we've put the vending machines in universities and we are in the middle of liaising with a couple of TAFEs.
Before we get to, I suppose, some of the diving into the uptake of Connect, what would the next steps be if someone sees a positive result from one of these self-tests?
Yeah, that's a really important question. And we've done all that we can to support people so that, you know, if they're not in a clinic, when they perform their test and they get it, what looks like a positive result, that they'll know what to do next. So I think the first thing to say is that these are screening tests. They actually, and there is a very, very, very small chance of getting a false positive. So if somebody got a positive result, the next thing that they do is they need to go and get confirmatory blood testing. So we provide information on our webpage about the clinics that do that testing here. We also provide a service whereby we have a peer navigator who can walk somebody through that process if that's what they would like. So yeah, it's just really important that you then get confirmatory testing, because it could be that you got a false positive. And if you are positive, then, you know, you can very quickly get into that care cascade, which is the best thing that can happen.
As part of what I imagine is an obligation to the Australian government, as you said, who funds the project, you'd be reporting on who's using the tests, largely getting that information from the questions that you ask people trying to get a test, I suppose. What has the uptake of Connect been like? And what are some of the top-level analyses that you've made through the program's run so far?
Yeah. So we started off not knowing what the uptake would be with this. It's a pilot. And we've been really, really surprised and pleased by the reception to it. So since March 2022, so basically over about 18 months, we've had 1,720 people register to use the Connect. And basically there are people registering every single day. And we've dispensed 2,060 kits so far. So on average, we're dispensing about 114 kits a month across what was 5 and now 6 vending machines. What we know from that data, where we asked those people those questions initially, is that something like it sort of goes up and down between about 50 and 52% of our users are overseas born. And this next sort of bit of data is really important. We know that if we look at usage across all of our machines, something like 64% of people who are testing have never tested before. And that if we look only at the university campus-based machines, then that goes up to 74%. That's massive. When you look at things like the South Australian, the Adelaide Periodic Survey, it's something like 12% of men who have sex with men who complete that survey have not tested. So, you know, this is a really incredible success, I think, in terms of getting people who haven't tested before to test. We've got people from something like, I think we're now up to about 86 countries people are coming from. They're mostly younger people. So I'd say about 70-75% of our users are 50 and under, but mostly, you know, between 20 and 30. We do know more about things like gender if people fill in the follow-up survey, but that's sort of to dig down a bit more into the weeds. But we do collect other data using a follow-up survey.
Given the data that you've gotten so far, I suppose, Where has that led Connect so far? You said across five, now six machines. If people aren't aware, where is that sixth machine? What are plans for Connect look like at this point, and what are your hopes for a bit further down the road?
Yeah, so we just put a sixth machine in at Flinders University. We've got two more, which we are hoping will go into TAFEs, but you'll have to watch this space to find out more about that. We are now on to our second round of funding from the federal government. I guess what one of the things that that second round of funding allows us to look at, and this is something that's, I think, really important, is in a sort of a longitudinal analysis, you can see who are repeat users. So obviously, we know that some people will you know, get a kit because it's kind of a novelty. They've never seen this before. It's like, oh, yeah, okay, I've never tested, I'll test. And then they won't test again because they're, you know, they're not high priority. But what we're seeing with repeat users is that they are almost all in one or many of those sort of priority populations that we're looking to target, which is really fantastic. So for me, that really shows that this project is doing the work that we wanted it to do. I guess given that, what I'd really like to see is this project in South Australia sort of expand into regional areas. Because currently it's metropolitan based, but I would also like to see this kind of initiative happening in other states. And there is definitely an appetite and an interest for that. And, you know, over the last couple of months, I've been talking with lots of people who are developing plans to start projects like this in other states.
If people want to know more about Connect, potentially for listeners in Adelaide wanting to get a test kit of their own, where can they find out more?
They can find out more on the SAMESH website, and or if they're passing a machine or a postcard or a poster, just scan the QR code and it'll take you to our webpage and you'll find out everything that you need to know. Or you can always email me or give me a call at SAMESH.
And that website is samesh.org.au. Nikki Sullivan, health educator at SAMESH, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.